Okay, we continue in Shmuel Aleph. I believe we finished Pasuk Lamed, right? I believe we finished Pasuk Lamed. We discussed how in the midst of battle, as the Jews drove away the Plishtim, they were very hungry and very tired, yet Shaul made a decree that no one should eat. Until they finish off the Plishtim. Yonasan was not there when that decree was made, and he tasted a little bit of honey. And when somebody pointed that out to Yonasan, that he didn't listen to his father's decree, so Yonasan responded to that. And he basically said, you know, I took a little bit and I felt so much better. Can you imagine if everybody would have eaten a little bit, how much more successful we'll be against the Plishtim? And we said that from the Ralbag that Yonasan sinned in many different ways. First of all, he was criticizing his father. Second, he wasn't allowing the battle to be miraculously saved by Kodesh Baruch Hu. And number three, he can't plead such ignorance that he didn't know, because after all, he should have checked out and seen that nobody else was eating. And how come nobody was eating and only he was the one that was eating? So these are all things he should have done, which really is, for a tzaddik like Yonasan, would be considered a sin. Anyway, let's continue with the war and the story. Lamed Aleph. Vayaku bayom hahu baplishtim mimichmash ayolona vayoaf ha'amaod. And Bayomahu, notice this, Bayomahu, on that day, they hit the Plishtim from Michmash until the valley of Ayalon. And Vayav Ha'am Ma'od, and the nation was very fatigued. Okay, before it said they were fatigued. When the guy responded to him and said, listen, Shaul made a swear, etc., etc., and the people were fatigued, right? But then they continued, the battle continued, they were very, very fatigued. Now, we'll have to see, now, Ayalon, by the way, is in the portion of Dun, which is in the, so he's, Malbim said, I mean, we know that Shevet Dun is north, it's very north, and also it is, west of the boundary of the Plishtim, so they were very tired. Now, when people get very tired, they're apt to make mistakes. If you drive people to the point where they're very tired, then you make honest mistakes, but mistakes still they are. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Now, you have a Kri and a Ksiv. It's written Vaya'as, but we read it Vaya'at. Ha'om El Hashalol. Alright, so this is a very, very important pasuk. Vayat is explained by the commentators. All the commentators have a little thing to say on this. Vayat, they say it's like idea of a pricha, like flowering, budding, and they say that's an expression of doing things quickly. In other words, they acted quickly. That's what the Mitzuda says. Ralbag says that Vayat means they turned away. In other words, they were on a path of chasing after the Plishim. Now they turned away to go to the spoils. Radak learns it's an expression of gathering together. And you could say all three pshatim. They gathered together by veering off the path and did it in a very quick way. Okay, and who mentions about the Ksiv? So first the Radak says it means to turn away, turns away. But the fact that's what Vayat means. But the fact that the Ksiv is Vayas, which that would hint to an idea of gathering together. So in other words, they did it together. And they gathered together, they went off, and they did something very quickly. And we see at the end of the pasuk, they did something very wrong. As they're gathering up the loot, They take sheep and cattle, ubnei bakor, and young cattle. They slaughtered it to the ground, whatever that means, and the people ate al hadam, on the blood. So what is it that they did over here? So there's a lot of different commentaries over here. On the words, they took tzonu bakor, ubnei bakor, they took sheep and cattle and the children of the cattle. He said over here, what they did was they disregarded, transgressed the negative commandment that a person not allowed to slaughter an animal and its child on the same day. Bakar upnei bakar, cattle and the children of the cattle. So they were in such a rush, they weren't discriminating. And we'll see in a minute that is the sin that they did. Then Rashi brings down from Chazal, from the Gemara in Tzvachim, that they made these animal offerings as shlamim, as peace offerings. And with a shlamim, you have to sprinkle the blood on a mizbeach. And therefore it says, Vayochal ha'am al hadam, the people ate on the blood. Meaning to say, they were eating kachim while there was still blood that needed to be sprinkled. And there was no mizbeach, didn't help the matter any. So, I guess they wanted to, this wasn't regular meat they were eating, they wanted to thank God, make a korban out of it. But they made a korban, but they didn't sprinkle any blood. Again, you could be sure, you know, what they really needed to do was to build a bama, to build a mizbeach. And they were so hungry, they just wanted to get that animal. So they shechted the animal, they roasted it quickly, and, you know, their only thing in mind was to eat. They were so hungry. The Radak learns is that they shechted on a flat surface, and the blood didn't have anywhere to run off. And therefore, the blood reabsorbed into the animals, and then they transgressed the avera of eating blood. Usually, we salt the animal, and all the blood drains off. And here, they didn't. The blood came back into the animals, and they drank, and they ate an animal that had blood, which that's really the prohibition the Torah tells us about. Ralbag learns, very interesting. He says it seems to be there was an idolatrous practice of people slaughtering an animal and eating the meat in proximity of the blood. When you're eating meat in proximity of the blood, that is an idolatrous practice. Be that as it may, you have a number of things that could have been what they did wrong, if not all of these things. So the question has to be asked at this point in time, you know, like, why is this going on over here? So I think it's pretty obvious what's going on over here. First of all, we know, and this is the theme of Shaul throughout this his life. The Shaul was, King Shaul was a very holy man. In that area of holiness, you couldn't touch him. He was really a very holy person. But as a king, he would have one more important job that he always had trouble doing. The job of the king is to draw the nation to Hashem. To draw them to Hashem. That's what part of being a king is all about. And Shaul, even though for his own part, he was very controlled, he was very restrained. He's from Shevet Binyamin, that's the descendants of Leah. A lot of modesty, a lot of ability to control himself against Taiva and things like that. He really was a tzaddik. His big mistake was that he expected everyone to be on his high level of tzidkus, on his high level of precious, being able to stay away from Taiva. To be in the same level as him. And as a king, you gotta realize, and that's what Shmuel reminded him from the first day when he told him what kind of people you're gonna meet. And as we learned with the Malbim, he was explaining what kind of people will be your constituency. And most of your constituency is not as firm as you are. And will never be as firm as you are. You're supposed to pull them closer to Hashem as best you can. But they will not be who you are. And that's, we'll see later on, we see that it's Gemara clearly says it regarding another sin of Shaul Melech, where they say to him, Al tehi tzadik harbe, don't be such a big tzadik. In other words, it also means don't try to impose your tzidkus, your righteousness, on others to be on your level. So therefore, what was he doing? He was driving them to fast and fast and fast, and you could take it, you could take it, you're tired, continue, continue, continue. I can do it. But they, you know, so they were pushed beyond the limit. And then all of a sudden, you know, you know, he should have thought, you know, they're just regular guys. Can't you little taste a little bit of honey? Give them a couple chocolate bars. Okay, you don't sit down and make a whole meal. Yeah. But no, we have to be holy. We have to show this is all for Hashem. It's all this. You know, it's good for you, Shaul. It might be good for a few people. But you have to remember, just a couple hours ago, everybody ran scared. You have people who've been so afraid, they joined the plishtim.
Isn't that what Yonatan said after? Didn't he say the same thing? Let him eat something, that will be more possible. Why was that a sin for Yonatan? And
okay,
now he's saying this.
Okay, well, we'll come to Yonatan in a minute. But the point we're trying to make here is that really, at the end of the day, Shaul, in spite of his wonderful intentions, but he drove them to fast to the point that they did Averis. So at the end of the day, what did you gain? You know, fasting before war, we would call that a Midas Chasidus. That's an act of piety, an act of tzidkus. Nowhere in the Torah is there a law that you must fast on a war. There's no law as such. It's a good practice. It's a good practice. You should do tshuva. It's a good thing to do, no question about it. And they did it.
And they were successful,
but now, you know, you've driven them away. You want to continue the battle? Well, it's been a hard day. Let them eat a little bit, and then let them go on. And then you went and imposed an extra fast for them, which was like beyond what they would be able to handle. So now, because you want them to be really big tzaddikim, right, and the fact that Yonason, who was a very big tzaddik himself, he, you know, understood how important it would be to have just a little something to eat. Right? So instead of them being super frum, what happens is they go into blatant averos. And not because they were terrible people, but you drove them to starving to such a point where you start to lose your mind. You know, unfortunately you see things when people, hunger is a terrible, terrible thing. People, you don't act like a normal person when you're starving. And he drove him to that point. Now, if you're a real tzaddik, yeah, a real tzaddik can fast 40 days in a row till he'll see Eliyahu Navi. Okay, these weren't such tzaddikim. So he drove him to that point. Now, in spite of that, Yonason, no matter what his correct ideas were, when he was told by one of the other fellows that your father made a decree, right? He said, your father made an oath. Whatever your feelings were, you should have kept it to yourself. He should have just said, I didn't hear.
Well,
not really.
He said, I didn't know about it. Number one and number two.
He didn't really say it. He didn't really say it. And how did he respond to the criticism? He should have just said, I don't know. Instead of that, he had to criticize his father. Even if his criticism is correct, that's a deficiency in Kibbutov. More than that, he's not just your father, he's the king. So you just should have said, I didn't know about it. You don't find anywhere in his answer where he said, my father damaged the people, right? Look how much better it is now that I've eaten something, right? He did not say, I did not know. He did not say that. And that should have been the simple answer. I didn't know. He didn't tell me. Finished. And we'll deal with it. So then he's critical of his father and, you know, and everything else. And could be, you know, maybe Yonason, who was on the level of his father, should have, you know, so it could be, yeah, maybe Yonason read the, you know, would have been a better king than his father. In other words, realized, you know, you can't drive the people this way. But still, in spite of all what you could be better than your father, you cannot, as they say, diss your father.
So what about the reliance on Hashem's providence? That was the whole point of Saul, because he said, let's complete this because Hashem is helping us.
Okay, so
the reason he did it.
I understand, but you have to know your people. You can't drive people. The fact is, you have to know where they're coming from and how far you can drive them. And that's... It was enough they fasted for the main battle. And a miracle happened. Fine. So now they're starving. Go let them eat. No, we have to be bigger, said the king. No, they can't handle this level. You know, you have to, the biggest problem of a tzaddik is he can't understand how other people can't be a tzaddik. He can't understand. He says, what do you mean? Don't you feel dveikus Hashem? Don't you feel happy? you don't understand, you know, being a tzaddik, first of all, for him to be a tzaddik is amazing. But then to be a tzaddik and to lead other people the way they need to be led, you know, it's like, look who he's dealing with compared to who he is. Who's he dealing with? A bunch of quote unquote losers. You know, but they're not. That's who they are. That's what Hashem, that's how they've developed. He has to guide them with patience and, you know, certainly give them what to aspire towards. But at the end of the day, you have to realize that they're not going to be able to reach the levels that you would want them to reach. And maybe if you do it slowly and slowly, maybe, you know, they'll be the best that they can be. You know, these were people who not long ago wanted a king so they would be freed from a Kaddish Baruch. So, okay, so let's take it slowly. But he didn't take it slowly. He drove them to the edge. And because of that, they do an Avera. And we'll see, we'll continue. We'll see that more faults of Shaul come out over here, even though things end up okay. You have to remember that Shaul himself was guilty of the fact that he didn't wait 7 days till the end of the seventh day to bring the Korban. It's also interesting if you notice what name is missing throughout this story at this point in time. Shmuel. He's not in the whole parak, you won't find his name at all. It's like Shmuel's kind of said, listen, you've already blown it, man. You know, son, I'm really not involved over here. And yeah, it's interesting, like, shouldn't Shaul, now that you can understand now why Shaul's making these mistakes, because he doesn't have anybody to ask. You know, he unilaterally made this decree to fast. You know, maybe if Shmuel was there, he would have asked him for an Eitzah, give me some advice. I guess Shmuel wasn't around. So, as much as, wow, it's a great opportunity for us to be as frum as we can be, to get as close as we can, I'm going to make this special decree. Blah, blah, blah. You know what? Look how it backfires on you. And let's continue and see.
Why wasn't Shmuel around? Isn't that his fault too? He should have been around.
Well, Shmuel already said, you know, you messed it up.
So that's it? He gave up on him?
That's how we ended it up.
Yeah, I know, but that's to give up on him.
He gave him this warning. Well, he'll give him another chance. But he says, this battle already is not going to be the way that it should be. He says, he acted foolishly. Your kingdom is not going to last. Yeah. Right. And he said, you know, I have nothing to do with this battle anymore. You've not been listening to Hashem, so I can't be involved. You'll have to do it on your own. It's pretty harsh. It's pretty harsh. It's pretty harsh. All right, let's continue. Lamed Gimel. So what happens when Shaul finds out? Vayagidu l'Shaul le'mor, hine ha'am chotim l'Hashem l'chol adam. It was told to Shaul saying, behold, the lower people, right? Doesn't mean necessarily everybody was. Remember, they're all called Ha'am. Nation is usually not such a praiseworthy term. It's more the masses, the lower people. So behold, your people that are sinning to Hashem, eating on the blood, whatever interpretation you want to take. Vayomer, and he said, Begatem, you have betrayed. Golu Eli Hayom Evan Gidola. Let us roll today a large stone. Okay? So the Begadetem, the Balaam says, you've rebelled, meaning again, in this area of Kachim. He says, oh, they have sinned in this area of Kachim. And let us bring a big rock. So we'll see. This rock is meant to correct the problems that the Jews showed. So for example, according to one interpretation, that they didn't sprinkle blood on a mizbech. So let's make this rock to become a mizbech. A bomba, which they were allowed to have because the Mishkan didn't have a permanent place. There was no place to, for the blood to drain off. This rock will be the place where the blood will drain off. You can't have blood in your proximity. So guess what? This bowl will be a separation between the blood on one side and the animals on the other side. So in other words, let's fix the problem. Lamed Dalet. Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul said, Putsu va'am, spread out word to the people. Vamartam lam, and say to them, Hagishu elai, bring to me, Ish shor v'ish siehu. Each man should bring his ox or his sheep. Ushchatem bazeh, and shecht it with this. Vachaltem and eat. V'lo sechato l'Hashem l'chol adam. And don't sin to Hashem by eating on the blood. So each man brought his ox in his hand that night. Vayishchatu sham, and they sacrificed the animals over there. Okay, so in other words, so in a way that the problem was resolved.
Correct.
He corrected the problem. In other words, he saw the problem. He corrected it right away. Okay. One second. Okay. Pasuk Lamed Hey. And then what does he do? Vayiven Shol Mizbech LaHashem. Shol builds a Mizbech for Hashem. Oso Hechel Livnos Mizbech LaHashem. That is the one that he began to build a Mizbech for Hashem. So this is a very difficult pasuk as well. What's the idea? Who Hechel? He began. When he began. It almost implies he was the first one to build a Mizbech, as if nobody else ever built a Mizbech before, which we know is not true. So what does it mean he began? So Malam says, he began it in the beginning. In other words, when they first were going to start eating, he began to build it, but everyone was in such a rush to eat, it kind of, they were eating before he finished the Mizbech. So this was, he built a Mizbech, the very same one he was beginning to build, but the people were eating before he was able to finish the building of the Mizbech. That's one interpretation. That's from the Malbim. The Radak says that he began, meaning to say, he was the first king to do it. First Jewish king to do it. Now, of course he was the first Jewish king. So we have to add from other commentaries, to say, like, if you look during the entire times of the Shoftim, there was nobody who really built a Mizbeach for Hashem. In terms of a Jewish leader, he was the first one to build a Mizbeach for Hashem. Even though you'll find that there were others who did, Gidon and others may have done it, but they only did it for themselves. They brought a korban, not that the whole Jewish people should do it. So he built a Mizbech to show thanksgiving to Hashem, and he encouraged everyone else to be part of that, which we all will bring korbanos. In other words, instead of just eating, see, Shaul had great ideas here. He says, listen, you're hungry, so we know what we're going to do. Now that we're so hungry, again, he's fruming them out, right? We're so hungry, so what, if normally you're hungry, shecht and eat it. No, I'm going to shecht it and bring a korban to thank Hashem. And then once we've thanked Hashem, then we can eat it. These guys were starving. It's not time for that. Right? He wanted to get them all to realize and appreciate Hashem. To that, you went too extreme and too overboard. You're not going to help. So, but that now we're seeing what his motives ultimately were. To be the one, to be the first leader to get everybody involved in bringing korbanos. Right? This is his, this is really his first kingly act, as it were, to get Hashem involved, as Hashem would want it, and to draw Jews there. But, you know, as they say, too little too late, or perhaps a wrong time. So as much as he wanted to be the best king he could be, all the good intentions, he just was pushing them too far. So instead of being able to make a great Kiddush Hashem, unfortunately it was a Chilul Hashem. That's what happens when you want to push people beyond what they're capable of taking. So that is what we see in these psukim over here. Okay. Lamed Vav. So now they've eaten, they're refreshed, but they still haven't totally finished off the plishtim. So, Vayomersh, Lamed Vav, Vayomer Shol. So Shol says, Ner Dachrei plishtim Laila. Let us chase after the plishtim now at night. Vinavozabahem, and we shall loot them at Or HaBoker until the morning rises. Till the light of the morning. So there won't be any men left of them. Let's get rid of these plishtim once and forever. For Yom and all the people said, Kol atov v'necha say, whatever's good in your eyes, let's do. But Baruch Hashem, Vayomer HaKoyen, but the Koyen who was with them, remember, the Koyen was with them, he said, maybe Nikrava Halom El Halokim, maybe we should come close to Hashem, maybe we should ask the Urim V'tumim and see if we should be going to battle. Before, when you wanted to ask, but you didn't have time because you saw that the disarray of the plishtim was so great, we just had to move. Okay, no problem. We had to do because there had to be a battle. But now you've kind of chased them away. Now you want to finish them off. Well, we should be asking Hashem to see if we should do this. Right? See, because Shaul felt that this was the moment. It's time now to get rid of the plishtim. So all that, and plishtim are totally defeated. It's just a question of looting them and just finishing off the job. What do I got to ask the Urim V'Tumim for? Well, the Kohen said, no, How do you know? Maybe they've already regathered themselves. Maybe they'll collect themselves. You know, like second half of a football game. You could have one half, one team's destroying the team. All of a sudden they regroup. Second half, they come fighting back. So how do you know that, maybe they're just running. Maybe they've gathered in a place. You're going to fight them again. They're going to be ready for you now. They're going to say, how can we let 3,000 guys do this to us? What kind of trick did they do? We're more than them. We shouldn't be afraid. So, this might not be such a good idea. Okay? Shaul showed respect. That's what the Kohen Gadol said. Okay? Not a bad idea. So, Lamed Zayin. Vayishal Shaul Belokim. So Shaul asked Hashem, Ha'ayreid acharei plishtim? Should I go down after the plishtim? Hasit neim biyad Yisrael? Will you give them over into the hands of the Jewish people? V'lo anahu bayomahu. And Hashem did not answer him on that day. Durim Tumim didn't say yes, didn't say no, didn't say anything, which is worse than a no. No is also an answer, but no answer means there's something very bad going on over here. Shaul immediately understood there's something extremely bad going on over here. No such thing that Hashem doesn't answer, even to say a no. So he understood that there's major things wrong over here. Lamed Ches. Vayomer Shaul. So Shaul says, Goshu halom kol pinosom. Bring close to over here all the different corners of the people. In other words, I want everybody here. Udu'u uru'u, and you should know and you should see. Bama hoisa hachatos hazozayom. For what reason was this sin today? In other words, he knew there had to be a very recent avera, and because of this recent avera, Hashem isn't answering. It couldn't have been something from months and months and months ago, because Hashem has done an amazing miracle today. And it must be there was a sin just after the miracle. Because otherwise they would have lost the battle. If they went to battle with a big avera, they wouldn't have won. The fact that Hashem's not answering must have been a very recent avera. With what was there a sin right now, today? And, what about the fact that all your troops were doing all these different averas? So he wasn't concerned about that because he corrected that right away. Something he knew about, something he corrected. Right? So, he's trying to find out what's going on over here. So he continues. Lamates. Ki chai Hashem, Moshiach Yisrael, kim yeshno b'yonasan b'ni, kimos yumos. He says, and I swear, by the one who delivers Yisrael, by Hashem, I swear by Hashem, let's deliver the Jewish people, that if we find the sinner, even if he would be my own son, Yonasan, he shall surely be put to death. Now, he didn't know what Yonasan did. Right? Again, big mistake. Big mistake. He was, and nobody answered from the people. People knew what was going on. People knew that Yonasan ate. Some did, for sure. The one guy who saw Yonasan. Man, you always got to remember, you're not dealing with the highest class people over here. You're not dealing with tzaddikim. When this guy saw Yonasan eat, and Yonasan criticized his father, you don't think he told some other guys? And other guys told other guys? And what were they basically saying? I guess the king's son is above the law. Right, they're too busy fighting and this thing and that thing and celebrating their victory, but that was probably spreading. The king's son thinks he's above the law, so they're not saying anything. There's mixed feelings over here, as you'll see, but Shaul definitely spoke out of turn, and the mom elaborates. He says, and even if it would be Yonasan, and even though he was the vehicle for our salvation. Because he realized that Yonasan went and started the attack. Right? But he's saying, even he would have to die. Now what would go through Shaul's logic for that to be? Because if Hashem does show so much hashkacha for you, show so much help and divine assistance, so therefore, if you sin, the anger to Hashem in such a person will be so much greater. Because the sin, the greatness of the sin depends on the greatness of the sinner. Right? And therefore, even though something good came from him, but he's such a tzaddik, and Hashem did so many good things to us, if he would have sinned that also, it's not excusable. And therefore, and we also see that even though, why should he die? Well, you know, king makes a decree. King makes a decree that says that no one can eat anything, no one can do anything. Those decrees have a lot of force. So, and they're able to put a guy to death. So let's see what happens. Pasuk Mem. Vayomer kol ha'am. So now he said, basically the next couple of psukim, it's not said clearly, but what's going on over here, is I'm going to draw lots. I'm going to do a lottery and find out. Hashem will show us who the sinner is. So he says to all the Jewish people, attempt you le'ever echad. Interesting how he decided, the way he decided to make the lottery. I mean, he could have, you know, divided up into 12 tribes, and then after the tribes, we divide up into families and see what's wrong. He didn't do that. He said, all of you Jews are going to be on one side of the lottery. And me and Yonasan, my son, will be on the other side of the lottery. You know what? I don't know what possessed him to divide up the lottery that way. In other words, I guess he's thinking, well, was it a sin of the people or a sin of the leadership? Maybe that's how he felt. Was it a sin of the people? Was it a sin of the leadership? In other words, he either felt it was you know, somewhere amongst all the people there was a sin, and it was the lower people, or maybe it was a mistake in leadership. Could be, this is again his humility, where he's willing in the lottery to show that I could be very well responsible for what's going on, even though I don't know.
So in other words, he included himself in the lottery.
Him and his son, that's leadership.
So he included as a...
So he says, it's either the leadership or it's the people. Yomer ha'am el shol, and the people said to shol, hatov v'nechasei, do what's good in your eyes. Mem alef. Vayomer shol el Hashem elokei Yisrael. Okay, so shol says to Hashem, the God of Israel, he says, hava samim, literally that means, he's saying, bring truth. He's saying, Hashem, bring a truthful lottery. Please make the lottery, be a correct lottery. That it's not just bogus. I make it, I'm totally off board. Hashem, I want you to be involved in this. So v'yilakeid Yonasan v'shol. So the lottery fell on Yonasan and Shol. V'am yotso. And the other people went. In other words, they were free from the rest of the lottery. Okay, membeis. V'yomer Shol. So now Shol says, ha'pilu b'ni u'b'ni Yonasan b'ni. So let's draw a lottery between me and my son. V'yilakeid Yonasan. And it fell on Yonasan. So Yonasan is the guilty party, and that's why Hashem didn't answer them. Mem Gimel. Vayomer Shol Yonasan. So Shol said to Yonasan, Hagidoli, tell me, Me'o Siso, what have you done? Vayagedo Yonasan. Yonasan said, now here's interesting. Now the question is, now how is Yonasan going to respond? He could be critical of his father now. Right? On the other hand, he sees that Hashem has not answered them. If Hashem has not answered them, that's a very bad sign. And the lottery's fallen on Yonasan. So now Yonasan, is he going to, argue with the lottery? Try to excuse himself? Now remember, he has a lot of excuses, doesn't he? I didn't know. After all, it's not clear. Did you mean couldn't eat anything? Maybe a little bit. I was dying. He has a lot of excuses he could use. So you look at his honesty here. And this is an honesty that Hashem is showing Shol that he should be learning from. Because we're coming up to the next chapter. The next chapter is a very, very sad chapter. The next chapter is Shol's final fatal mistake. And in the final fatal mistake, when the Navi says he made a mistake, he excuses himself. He doesn't accept responsibility. And you could say, well, that's the way people are. Yeah, but you're going to see now in your son, your own son, accepts responsibility when God says he's wrong. And he says, Vayomer, he says, Ta'om ta'amti b'kzeh ha'mata sher b'yadi ma'at tvash. Yes, I have surely tasted from the edge of my stick that was in my hand, I took a little bit of honey. And therefore he says, Hinenei amus, and therefore I should die. So the Malbim points out, this is his righteousness. He didn't try to excuse himself from all the excuses he could have had. Once he saw that the lottery fell on him, and Hashem says he is guilty, then Hashem says he is guilty. And that's it. Not, forget it. My father did something, maybe I felt to argue with my father. Again, maybe a mistake, maybe not a mistake, whatever. But if Hashem says I'm guilty, I ain't gonna argue with Hashem. I can't. So now is a major problem. Now, which story does this remind you of a little bit? Back in Sefer Shoftim. Yiftach. Remember what Yiftach said before he had to go to battle?
Oh, yeah.
He said, if I win this battle, the first thing that comes to me, I will give to you Hashem, and it's his daughter.
Yeah.
Right?
Now you're stuck with it.
So now you're stuck with it. And you'll see as well, this sounds a lot like Yaakov Avinu's big mistake when Lavan chased after him and says, why'd you steal my idols?
Yeah, that's
and what did Yaakov say? I'm so sure nobody stole your idols. If anybody stole them, they shall surely die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did Shaul say? Whoever did it shall surely die. And what eventually happened to Rachel? Interesting. Rachel dies. Ultimately, Rachel, why does she die? Because of Yaakov's curse. Even the curse of a tzaddik and condition must come true. Right? He never would have said it if he knew Rachel took. Rachel dies. How interesting. Shaul really then came out and cursed his son. Because ultimately, Yonah's son's going to die in a battle later on through the hands of the Plishtim. Right? And again, he's descendant of Rachel. So you see how, again, it's Rachel. Rachel, you know, remember, Rachel is very modest. Very tznius. And if you're very tznius, what do you do if you're very tznius? You never tell anybody about the good things that you do. Never tell people about your righteousness. Right? She wanted to take the idols away from her father. It was because it was a tzidkus. She didn't want anybody to know. That's her nature. Be very modest. You don't even have to tell your husband you're doing such a virtuous thing. True, modesty is a wonderful thing, but you have to know that there are other rules that you can't let the modesty interfere with. One is called shalom bias. Right? So you say, it's not fair. Well, if you have a husband and you don't tell him what you're doing, that's a little bit too modest, perhaps. Okay, you didn't tell him that you switched your sister to marry him. Okay, maybe that was a good idea. But you went and take the idols. Could cause a kol hashemi, maybe discuss it. So the same idea, Shaul, you know, you want to say the one who transgressed should surely die, you know. Think about it. You have to know. You can't be so sure. If you have such a modest family, you know, if you're humble, and you probably raised Yonasan to be humble, how can you be so sure you know all the information? You're so quick to say people should die. Ultimately, this is where Yonasan dies from. It's from this curse. I mean, Yonasan did do an Avera, did do a slight Avera. For his level, it was an Avera, criticizing his father. And then his father puts a curse on him. So, you know, it can't be that goes away. It's going to have to linger and have some kind of an effect.
It's just the way for him to correct the whatever happened. He didn't know why Hashem didn't answer anymore. So he's trying
so now
to
he knows him. Why.
So that's the way to correct it, right?
Okay, so now the question is, what's Shaul going to do?
But Shaul had no choice. He had to do that. He had to draw the lots to find out what the reason was.
He had to draw the lots. Did he have to say that the person would die?
But what else would he say?
I don't know. Well, let's find who it is with the person to do teshuva.
So
I mean, I'm sure he's pretty suspicious that the transgression was that somebody didn't fast.
Yeah.
In other words, the only thing he could have thought was wrong is that somebody didn't fast. He figured, I made a decree, must be somebody, and he said, must be somebody today sin. Now, who could sin while you're having a battle? It's no time to sin. The only sin that could have been is I said nobody could eat. Somebody must have eaten. Therefore, he shall surely die, because it's a kingly decree.
Somebody says, the
and then he says, and even Yonasan, and even Yonasan. What? Yeah, the people sinned, they corrected.
Oh, okay.
He built it, he put the rock up, he says, we're going to correct this survey right away.
Yeah.
We corrected it.
Yeah.
Whatever I know, I'll take care of.
Right.
So whatever I know, I'll take care of. So this you know, but this he doesn't know. So now he finds out. So now, what are you going to do now? You going to play favorites now? Remember, there's a group there suspecting there's favoritism here. Shaul saying, I've got no favoritism. Even if it's my own son, I will kill him. And now, it's your own son. So let's just finish up this little part. So what's Shaul's response? Ben Dalat, Vayomer Shaul. Shaul says, Ko yaseh Elohim, v'ko yaseh. So shall Hashem do, so shall Hashem increase. Kimos tamus Yonasan. That Yonasan shall surely die. He's saying that's what has to happen. It's like an oath. Ko yasel gim is like an oath. Okay? And he's saying, you know, whatever's got to happen to him, that's what's got to happen to him. Unless he's going to stick to his guns over here. And that Yonasan has to die. So will he or not? We will hang on to next week. And of course, there's a lot of other issues over here. Clearly, there's a lot of questions over here. At the end of the day, Yonasan was a shogeg. At the end of the day, Yonasan didn't know. At the end of the day, would you say that he violated? So if that's the case, why does Hashem make the thing come on him? So we'll discuss all that in Mirz Hashem next week. Tomorrow we will continue with the Masil Sisharim.